these children to learn the Word of God and sing God's songs, and it sure is a blessing this morning. Let's pray before we read. Father, we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Thank you for the pure, precious blood that you shed to forgive our sin. Thank you that we can know that heaven is our home through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You said, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Give the hearers ears to hear. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus. May it not be in words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, verse 1, Paul, an apostle. That's a sent one. That's somebody sent with a message. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. No better satisfaction in this world than being in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Are we okay? All right. I hear you all a little step behind me here. I thought I said 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. According to the promise of life. The promise of life. Jesus promised abundant life now, John chapter 10, eternal life later for those that would trust in him, John 3, 16. I'll read it without the comments. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. We learned from our introduction Wednesday night that the apostle Paul, the author of this book, is sitting in a prison in Rome. He is ready to die for his faith. It's about 67, 68 AD. He's writing to a young pastor, and we have to ask the question, how did this preacher end up in prison? 30 years earlier, prior to his conversion to Jesus Christ, Paul was a very religious man. Paul observed the law of Moses, but he had never experienced the love of God. Paul feared God, but he never experienced the forgiveness of God. As a strong religious leader of his day, he comprehended the wrath of God, but he had never personally experienced the mercy and the grace of God. He attended religious services. He was a leader of the religious services, but he did not have a personal relationship with God. In Acts chapter 9, Acts is a book of the early history of the church shortly after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We learn that Paul, when he was a religious man before his conversion to Christ, he hated Christ and he hated Christians. He was mad. Jesus Christ is bad for religious business. He was persecuting Christians. He was causing Christians to blaspheme. He was even consenting to Christians being killed. But inside, the Holy Spirit of God was working on Paul. There was something about these Christians. There was some joy that these Christians had that Paul hadn't experienced in the religion that he was practicing. So take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, the history of the New Testament church shortly after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Saul. Now, this is Paul before his name is changed. And Saul, who was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. And if they found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He was persecuting them. He's on the road to Damascus. He's got letters from the priest. And he said, I'm going to shut these Christians up once and for all. He was a Jewish Pharisee. And on that road to Damascus, at noonday, a light shone from heaven. And a voice came from heaven. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me? Saul was confused. He said, "Who are you? Who are you that I'm persecuting me?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Paul never laid a hand on Jesus Christ, but he was persecuting his people. And when you persecute God's people, you in effect persecute Christ. And here's what God said to Paul from heaven. "Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." See, God was pricking the conscience and the heart of Paul with this Christian faith. But he had too much to lose. And so he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And after that day, he was never the same. Look at verse 20, Acts chapter 9, verse 20. He was baptized. He got discipled a little bit in verse 20. And straightway, right away, he preached Christ in the synagogues. Now, he had this peace. He had this joy. He had this assurance of his eternal destination. He had abundant life now and eternal life later, and he knew it. This is the man that wrote, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Jesus Christ changes lives. This man was persecuting Christians. Now he was preaching Christ. Everywhere he went, he preached in the synagogues in Israel. He preached in the streets in Ephesus. He preached in Greece. He preached in Athens. He preached in Rome. He preached everywhere. He preached publicly. He preached privately. And those people that were what he used to be, the Pharisees, they didn't like it one bit. And now he sits in a prison 30 years later in the book of 2 Timothy as an older man in prison for telling the good news of Jesus Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, how that he was buried, and how he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of the apostles and the disciples and of over 500 brethren. Try putting that in a court of law. See if you win. You'll win. When he writes this final letter, 2 Timothy, to the young pastor at Ephesus, modern day Turkey, on the coast by the sea, I want us to consider one word. One word of God is more powerful than a million words of man. And I want us to consider the first word in this epistle, this letter that he wrote to the young preacher. Say it with me, Paul. I want to consider, gentlemen, what's in a name. Paul. That's all I'm going to preach on. You say, "Preacher, it's a man's name. What's the big deal?" All the epistles began in those days with the author of the epistle. That's the way people write. We sort of postscript it. We get a letter in the mail and we... Pastor Grace used to say, the first thing I do is see who it's from. If it says anonymous, he throws it right in the basket. Man, they're strong when they don't say who it is, you know. We say, "Love, Joe. Sincerely, Jay." They start out with the name. You say, "Paul is simply identifying himself." Not so fast, because you remember what we just read in Acts chapter 9? He used to be called Saul. Saul. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Paul," or "Saul, who is called Paul." Now, Paul's name changed. Now, we see many times in the Word of God, people's names change. Remember what God said to Abram? He said, "Abram, you shall no longer be called Abram. You shall be called Abraham." Remember Sarai? Sarai, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Sarai, you shall be called Sarah. He said to Jacob, he says, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel." He said to Peter in the New Testament, he said, Simon, You're not going to be called Simon anymore. You're going to be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone, Peter, Petros. But this is not the case with Paul. God did not change Paul's name. In fact, God continued to use Saul when he spoke to him later when he was in prison. There is a discussion as why did the name change? Some say, well, Paul was the Roman name and Paul was going to reach Romans, so he thought that would be better than using his Hebrew name. But listen, there were thousands of Jews that were saved in those churches. That didn't make a difference. Some say that one of the first people he led to Christ was Sergius Paulus, and so he took that name Paul to sort of remember the occasion. I don't know what the answer is, but what's important is his name changed. Every single epistle he wrote, 14, began with Paul. And I believe the Holy Spirit can teach us volumes through that one word today. What he was saying by that one word. Number one, he was saying who I am. You say, no kidding. But listen, when you say who I am, Paul, you're saying who I'm not, Saul. You know what we can learn in a practical application? I'm not who I used to be before I met Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ changes lives. He changed my life 30 years ago last month. Jesus Christ changes desires. Jesus Christ changes destinations. If you do a word study on Saul and Paul, you know what you'll find? The word Saul means desired. Desired in Hebrew. You know what you'll find? The first mention, of course, the character Saul in the Old Testament. He didn't have a lot of good. First mention of Saul in the New Testament, associated with stoning of the Christian Stephen. Second mention of Saul in the New Testament, consenting to the death of Stephen. Third mention of Saul in the New Testament, havoc and imprisonment. Fourth mention of Saul in the New Testament, threatening and slaughter. Fifth mention of Saul in the New Testament is when he meets God and his face is down in the ground. Sixth mention of Saul in the New Testament, he's blind, he can't see for 3 days. And as he gets discipled and as he begins to preach, the only time he uses the name Saul is when he tells of his testimony before he was converted and how God called his name from heaven. I think he's saying, I'm not what I used to be before Jesus Christ. I'm Paul now. I have a new name now. I have a new destination now. I am a new man now. As Saul, I had rules and regulation, but as Paul, I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I had a form of godliness as Saul, but as Paul, I have fellowship and forgiveness with God through Jesus Christ. Wake up, y'all. Come on now. Try to stay with me. If you go to sleep on me, you're going to kill it, man. You're going to kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't. Try to hold your eyes open like it's this afternoon you're watching the ball game. Can somebody say amen? Stand up and go like this if you have to. Come on now. I know it's warm in here. As Saul, he said, I understand the law. As Paul, he said, I understand the love of Jesus Christ. As Saul, I persecuted you, but as Paul, I want to preach to you. We sing the song, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And I thank God that 30 years ago, as a young man, driving that Chevy pickup down Lake Avenue in Rochester, New York, I was doing as best I could, that I knew. I mean, I wouldn't curse God's name. I never killed nobody. I was a pretty good guy. I had a little medallion around my neck. I was trying. But May 17, 1986, Jesus Christ came into my heart. Nothing spooky happened. But I got saved by the grace of God. See, God has been changing lives for 2,000 years. And what religion can't do, and what rules can't do, and what regulations can't do, and what ceremonies can't do, Jesus can do. Now, I understand His righteousness. I was going about to establish my own righteousness, which wasn't very righteous. What's in a name? Paul said, who I am. I'm not who I used to be. Number two, not only who I am, what I am. Look at the passage. Paul, an apostle. That's a sent one. That's somebody sent with a message. Interesting, Saul means desired. Desired. Saul was a big shot before he got saved. Paul was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, brought up under Gamaliel. I mean, Paul was somebody. He had authority from the priest. He had religious prestige. Desired. You know what Paul means? It means little. Little. Small. Humble. In his three descriptions of himself in the beginning of all his epistles is either an apostle, just a sent one with a message, a servant, or a prisoner. He's saying, not only am I not who I used to be, I'm not what I used to be. Before Christ, he was proud of his religion. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. I was zealous. I had more zeal than all my fathers. He was so proud of his religion, he would hurt people that didn't believe like him, if you can imagine that. Hey, if you don't want to believe like me, have a nice day. But Paul, he said, you don't believe like me, I'm going to hurt you. He said, blaspheme Jesus Christ, men and women, or we'll put you in the prison. But when he became Paul in Jesus Christ, he followed the Savior. And when they slapped him on one cheek, he turned the other. When they put him in prison, he said, I'm just a prisoner of the Lord. He said, I'm just a servant. I'm just a messenger. I'm just the chiefest of sinners. Listen, this guy wrote 3/4 of the New Testament and started enough churches that the world knew the name of Jesus Christ. And he didn't say, I'm the boss. I started all these churches. You know what he said? He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. The chiefest. He said, I'm the least of all saints. Paul, not only does he say who he is, I'm no longer what I used to be, but he said what he is. I'm no longer at the top. I'm just a lowly servant for the Master. What's in a name? Who I am? What I am? Lastly, whose I am? Who do I belong to? Look at the passage. Paul, an apostle, say the next 3 words with me, of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, Paul had credentials. Paul had religious credentials. And you know what he called them? He said he listed all his credentials before he came to a real relationship with Christ. See, I feared God as a young man. Now, I'm not going to say I was an angel. You that knew me before knew that. But I knew God here. I didn't know Him here. I was 14 inches from heaven. And so Paul had a zeal of God before he got saved, but not according to knowledge. He had all these religious credentials, and he said, I count them but loss. Another place he said, I count them as dung. My religious credentials, when compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, as the prophet Isaiah said, were like filthy rags. You imagine looking at God and saying, haven't I done good? He said, I was ignorant of God's righteousness. I was going about to establish my own righteousness, and I had not submitted myself to the righteousness of God. He's telling whose he was. He said, being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. I'm not good enough for heaven. I'm not good enough to stand before God. And I can't do enough good to wash away my sin. If the policeman pulls me over, one of our policemen, I'm speeding 80 miles an hour. In a 30. Not that I'd ever do that. 77 maybe. But. And he said, you know why I pulled you over? Yeah, I know. I was speeding. And he said, okay, I'm going to write you a ticket. I said, wait. I'm a good person. And our law enforcement would say three words. Ha, ha, ha. You're standing before the judge. You committed a crime. But you know, I've done a lot of... Let's say you trespassed. You were walking down the lane and you saw a pumpkin in your neighbor's property. And you love pumpkin pie. And so you picked a pumpkin and they caught you on the camera. And now you're standing before the judge and the judge says, you stole the pumpkin. And you say, yes, but I cut the neighbor's lawn. That has nothing to do. Doing good can never wash your sins away. The Bible says that the blood, the pure, holy, spotless, sinless blood of Jesus Christ is all that can wash our sins away. So Paul's telling who he was, whose he was. And this is neat. 14 times he introduced himself, starts with the word Paul, and within the sentence, he doesn't get out of a sentence when he mentions Jesus Christ. We sing the song, Now I Belong to Jesus. We sing the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. Before I got saved, before I came to Christ, well, I'll explain what saved is in a minute if you're not familiar. It's a Bible term. It's okay. Listen. If the topic of God came up with someone, especially among people that were like real religious, I'd say, I'm a, and fill in the blank, whatever your religion was, I would say the religion that I was in. And then if they started talking about like judgment or what happens after death, I'd say, and I want you to hear the common word in these sentences, I'd say, I go to church. I'm not a bad person. I pray. I wear a medallion. I don't blaspheme. I'm a good person. You hear the familiar word? I. Guys, can we bring that screen down, please? When someone comes to Jesus Christ, the focus is no longer what I do, but what He has done. The message of salvation in Jesus Christ, and what that is knowing absolutely 100% positive sure that when I die, my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven. Denomination has nothing to do with it. Where you attend and worship has nothing to do with it. If the Bible's true. The message of Jesus Christ and salvation and eternal life and forgiveness of sin is not trusting what you do for God. It's trusting what God did for you through Jesus Christ. Think about this. How many have a son? Raise your hand. Can you imagine if your son was in this building? I'm sorry. Yes, I was in this building. Okay, and the building catches on fire and the sprinklers fail. And you're outside with your only son. And you said, son. Let's say your son was Jason, and Rick said, son, go in there and save the pastor. And Jason comes in the building and he does everything he can and he finds me and he gets me out. But in the process, he dies. And I get out there and say, boy, I got out of there, didn't I? Now, is Rick wanting my family, my treasure? No, Rick, all he wants is thank you for sending your son. Salvation in Jesus Christ is not what I can do for God. It's what God has already done for me. And that's what changed the Apostle Paul. And he had all that other religion you could stand and you couldn't shut him up once he got Jesus Christ. Okay, guys, give me that first one, or I could do it here, right? Okay, here's what Hebrews said. Paul wrote that book, too. It's the only book that he was sort of undercover and didn't give his name. He said, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everyone must, hey, let's sit down back there now. Everyone must give account for their sin one day. We are not to judge. It is not our job to judge. One day, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This, the Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great. These are not the Christians. These are those that don't know God. Stand before God. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. Help me, guys. Help me here. Give me the next slide, please. We'll wait. We'll wait. Can you forward it from back there? You know that prince of the power of the air don't like that. If okay. See the balances? This is what Saul believed before Christ. Before he became Paul. Before he was converted on the road to Damascus. He thought, when I stand before God, my sin will be on one side of the balance, and my good works will be on the other side of the balance. And if my good works outweigh my bad works, I will go to heaven. That's what he thought. And if anyone had good works, it was Saul. Now, if my good works outweigh my bad works, of course we all think our good works outweigh our bad works. But do you know you will be judged for your imaginations? Do you know that you will be judged for your thoughts? Do you know that you will be judged? The Bible says that for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That means every single time that you knew to do something good and you didn't, it's a sin. That's what he thought. If my good outweighs my bad, I'll go to heaven. Here's what he believed before Christ. If my sin outweighs my good works, I'll go to hell. That was before Christ when he was Saul. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But now is Paul, after his road to Damascus experience, here's what he wrote. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never sinned. Can you imagine a man that has never sinned, that knows your thoughts, judging you? And you're going to tell him, I'm a good person. He knows your thoughts. He knows your imaginations. The Bible says that we will give account of every idle word spoken, and we will be judged according to the gospel. What Paul believed after Christ, Jesus, perfect, knowing all our deeds, all our words, all our thoughts, all our imaginations, all our secret sin, on one side, me, on the other side. I won't be judged against him. I won't be judged for good works versus sin. I will be judged compared to Jesus Christ. You know what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? What he believed? He got on the other side of the balance. See, that balance is a cross if you look close. He said, I'm going to believe in Jesus. And now, when God sees a Christian that has trusted Christ at the judgment, He sees Christ. Here's my life with sin, with bad words, with bad thoughts, knowing to do good and doing it not. It's all marred on a white page, dark and smudgy and bad. Here's Christ's life, clean and perfect. The life of Jesus Christ, the life of Joe Camilleri. You know what God did to Saul and He did to me 30 years ago and He did to many of you? He took this is the life and He put His Son's name on mine. And He put my name on His Son's. That's why we sing. That's why we smile. That's why we have joy. That's why people think we are crazy. You don't have to go to church and you want to. You people, all you talk about is Jesus. Amen. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. And now I belong to somebody else. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the God-man reached down that hand of clay as He became a man. God was manifest. God was manifest in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And He reached up the other hand to God Almighty and He said, I want you to meet somebody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Let's turn the lights on, but have everlasting life. Paul was facing death. He told a young preacher, I'm ready to be offered, and I'm not afraid. I'm not who I used to be. I'm a new man in Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Listen, a church membership couldn't save you if you joined every church, synagogue, mosque, moose club. If you joined every organization, it can't save you or Christ is dead in vain. Here's salvation. 30 years ago, I said, God, You're the Savior. I'm the sinner. Doesn't that make sense? If He sent His Son into the building, all I have to say, You paid the price. Thank You, thank You, thank You. I believe in what He did for me. That's salvation. Let's stand. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask you a question. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to come to anyone. But just I want to ask a serious question because I want to pray for you, not by name. Just a general prayer I'm going to have. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you are not 100% sure that if you died right now and stood before God, that your sins would be forgiven and that you would go to heaven, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. Say, preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up fast. Put it back down. I won't call anyone out. I just want to include you in this prayer. Is there anyone that would say, preacher, I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here that would say, preacher, I know. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep me. I'm not who I should be, but I'm not who I used to be. I know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and down quick? Hands all over the building. Thank you. Pastor, what number will we sing? 562. Get a hymnal today. Listen. Salvation is better than religion. Religion has all these things you do, and at the end of the day, what do you know? Well, I really don't know anything. Salvation has everything that Christ did as an atonement for our soul, and we can know everything because we put not our trust in ourselves, but in Him. I'd be glad to come where you are, open up the Bible. We don't have time on a day like today to show you everything that we talked about today and just give it your choice. God pressures no one, but He draws with His love. It's up to us to respond. Let's sing and then we'll be dismissed with a prayer. and go our way.
562.